You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
This is Roy Masters, and I'm in the middle of a conversation between the first hour and this one. This is the new hour, and this is the last hour I do live, even though the program goes to most stations 3 hours. We just give it one we've done before. I can hold out as long as I have lots of calls. But as you see in the beginning, it takes a little energy to goose you, if you pardon the expression, to call me. I don't know if I'm that fascinating or that interesting or that you're more scared of calling me and expressing yourself into the world like Cheryl does. Cheryl's waiting for me, and she has anxiety, and she has codependency, which results in anxiety. And I was saying to her, as I'm now reporting to you, that anxiety is the evidence of being pulled into becoming an appeaser. See, even angry people, bullies, can be an appeaser to a bigger bully. So you could have a boy being bullied by his father, really, really bullied by his father, so he becomes his father. He's crying and whimping, but when he gets to school, he covers it up. All of a sudden, father appears in him, and the kids start to respond to him, to that voice that's different than he was before. And they tend to yield to that, to the pressure just of his presence and the snarl on his face or whatever, and his demeanor, sort of a misdemeanor. Something is missing. And so when I'm speaking to a young lady who doesn't have a job, she doesn't need it. Apparently she has enough to live on, but she doesn't know what to do with herself. But she has a tendency to be a appeaser and not live her own life. And this is the subject matter today, and I do hope we can keep it, although I am very happy to change the subject, which, if you don't mind me saying so, has exactly the same root core. In other words, it doesn't matter what you are, a drunk, a goody two-shoes, a pervert, you know, a suicidal. It doesn't matter whether your immune system is shot to pieces and you have problems with it, with your blood sugars and things like that. Well, of course, that's a different story that can't come back. But point is, nearly everything, gambling, anything that compels you, is something compelling you. And you either give into it so it's your own idea, because it's terrible to believe that it's not your idea that's making you, that whatever it is inside you that's making you do it. You don't like to admit that you are doing it. See, you don't like to admit you're wrong. So you will do it with a strength in it, a determination to do bad well. And then you become addicted to that. That's how you become mean. And people then yield to that and appease you. And so on and so forth. We're coming to that 1 minute left. I'll be talking to my other callers. We have about five waiting. Please, everybody, just listen, because all of you can listen to what I'm saying. And just, if you want to change the subject matter with respect to what I'm saying to my caller from the last hour, then change it. I'm okay with that. Whatever I put on the screen, I'll ignore. Okay, I had to have a little cough there. There you are, you see, there's a bit left there too. How many minutes to the end of this, David? Oh, this is the end, so I say good. Say hello again. There you go. Here's the music. I got to have a spray for my eye.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Yes, we got five people on the line, and please, all of you, wait, and you can all listen. I am carrying over Cheryl from the last hour, and she has a problem of codependency, and just a little bit from her. She has no need for income, but she has anxiety. And she is a people pleaser, and she does not know what to do with her life. Roughly, is that right, Cheryl? You can go on from there, and I'll listen.
It's not that I don't know what to do with my life. It's just that that other side that isn't me, I'm seeing it more and more, and I am seeing that I've never lived for myself.
That is a gift from heaven. That by itself, be grateful that you have been given to see. So now you have to be careful of that which substitutes for seeing. Like appeasing people to like you. You don't need to be liked. You need to be loved. But nobody knows how the world around you does not know how to love you. Otherwise, if you've ever met them, you would know what love was. Love is so rare, you can hardly find it. You can have what appears to be love, but it's not love. And you can have friends that like each other. But let me give you a little gift here. Let me ask you if you get what I'm about to say. So you have friends, and maybe several friends, and all nice people. But I know your friends are imperfect, and they're not where you are now. You're beginning
to. I have some friends. My dearest friends, actually, you know them, Roy, and I would think if I said their names, you would say, "Oh, they are."
Well, I'll leave it up to you. But
yeah.
You must, if you see those friends,
yes,
and they're able to discuss your problem or their problems,
yes,
or anything in philosophy,
yes,
let's keep it there for a while,
yes.
So, if you feel that or see, because you do see,
yes,
without knowing, you're seeing it a different way. There's a light beginning to shine in you on your own faults. You're embracing that, and that's what will cause you to be better, but you've got to keep it up. So
yes.
Now you may see, because of this, about seeing about yourself and looking for approval and seeing the dangers of it, where you may not have seen it before. You may see one or two of your friends are playing the game with you but not realizing it. There's no harm to them because they don't know it. Because you
right.
didn't know what it was until you until you slowly but surely understood. And I think it through my guidance, if I may say so, that you're beginning to see. My wife at age 64 years marriage, she's just beginning to see. I waited for her all that time. It was good for me to do that. But she doesn't owe me anything. She doesn't owe me to love me, appreciate me, well, as a vessel of expression.
It takes a long time for the undoing and the seeing of
a lifetime.
All the strings all the darkness and strings that have been pulling on you.
I understand that. But just hold
and
it.
And I don't care. I am not. When I talk about friends, I want a handful of decent people. But I am. I guess I'm hungry to just live from within, and have my own inner life. Does that make sense? Like
it
you do.
It makes beautiful sense. It's beautiful.
I mean, I just. That's what I want.
And you shall have it. Just close your eyes right now.
Okay.
Just close your eyes. This is a moment. And this is simple. You don't have to, it's not religious language. It's just a place of being still. Just keep your eyes closed. You know the drill. Look at your eyelids. And you see the little pixels, don't you? You see the images fade away. Memories fade away.
Mm-hmm.
The talking in your head fades away. All you see is these little pixels moving across the screen in the line, different colors, different shapes. You see that. Now, you folk, just be gently. Gentle does it. No effort. Just look at your eyelids. It's as simple as pie. Now, extend the awareness of what you're looking at. See, extend the awareness of whatever that is to your first finger of your right hand, and just be aware that it's there. That finger is alive, and you're not giving it any tension, because it's the right hand of God, basically speaking. I didn't mean to say that, but it's true. That's what the Bible speaks about. So be aware, and being aware, and because you couldn't be aware before, you wouldn't know what I was talking about, but you understand now the awareness causes that finger to tingle, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And the second finger does the same thing. When you give it attention, it's happy. It's happy because you're giving it attention like it's your kid. But it's your own body. It's your own childhood.
Yeah.
There's a light shining that way. Now the third finger. Mm-hmm. And the same thing in the little finger. And you come to the thumb. And round it goes.
Mm-hmm.
First, second finger, third finger. They go to the thumb and goes round and round the little finger. And now, here's what's happening to you. You have separated from your carnal self. And therefore, soul is separated. Your soul is spiritual, distinctly different from your brain. And now you're able to order what your brain should do, but you will not know how this works. Because as you step back, as you didn't realize you were doing or did, you are actually stepping forward to God. You've actually stopped, as in be still and know I am God. That you stopped. You have separated yourself from time. This is a timeless place, and you can feel the existence of your body that you're in. And I can talk to you and do the same thing and experience my body from within, as a light shining of my very presence. I know this, and as I speak to you, it's speaking through me to you. I'm not thinking about what I'm saying, even though I've said it before. I can say it again without rehearsal, and may add a thing or two that I never said before, especially as you. So your friends may not be fiends, but they're objects of pleasure and security, and that must go away.
Yeah.
And when you see your friend doing something just a little bit wrong, I ask you simply to speak up and say, look, Joe or Jenny, I saw that. What do you mean? I saw that. What do you mean? They're going to argue with you, and they're going to see, you're going to see a side of them, and you're going to sense, feel like you don't want to hurt their feelings.
Right.
See? And but you do want to hurt their feelings, not purposely, but because of the truth hurts. What's wrong with them? And that's love. You're not doing it because, well, because you don't want to hurt their feelings, because you need, you don't want to, you want to, you, because what really the truth of this is that if they, if you tell them the truth, they may withdraw their friendship, and you will feel like you're hurting their feelings when it's your own feelings that are involved.
Yeah.
See that?
You know, I had to speak up to
now you'll
a
be
business.
Now you'll be better now.
I had to speak up to a business person recently, and it was terrifying for me. And I realized that that part of me, it would rather have me hurt myself than hurt this business person's feelings.
That's not good, is it?
No, that's what being an appeaser is like. It's horrible.
I know.
It's like the Jews welcoming in the Nazis as they came through town.
That's right.
It's terrible. So
let me say something more about this.
Okay.
Just a little bit more.
Okay.
So what you need to understand is the fact that it's your feelings that are hurting, because if you speak up to that which you see is wrong, see, that which you see is wrong can do one of two things. It can hate you for that, and then you've lost a friend. But
right.
That friend may go away, and a week later they say, I just will apologize to you. I resented you for that, but I see you were brave enough to tell me that changed my life. That's how good it is. But if you don't speak up, you got but be bonded to the person you've done wrong, and you have to keep serving a wrong person and becoming wrong yourself. You never grow anything unless you quietly and do what the right thing is to do and not expect a feeling. If that feeling does not hurt his feelings, is really your feeling being disconnected from your drug friends, a drug-like friendship.
Right.
See that? Is that clear to everybody?
It is.
But now you find you can do this and call me back again, because I've got lots of people waiting.
Okay. Thank you, Roy.
You're very welcome, and you've allowed me to say things I could not say without your presence. Thank you. All right. So who's next? Matt. Okay, Matt, where is he on the phone? Let me see here. Matt. Okay, wife has autoimmune disease. I'd rather talk to your wife, but I'll deal with you. Go ahead.
Hi, Roy. My wife and I came to see you a couple of weeks ago at the Tall Timber Ranch.
Oh, I remember. You from New York? No, you're not New Yorker.
No, I'm originally from Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah.
But
go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, I think that's all right. You know, real quickly, that was a great last call. It's funny, Roy, because, you know, it seems like you put mathematics into being spiritual.
Right.
It's always,
that's exactly right.
It's always 1 + 1 = 2, and that's how I know it's the truth.
Yes.
It's so sweet. I thank you very much for what you do for everyone.
Well, it's my pleasure. Is it, when I say pleasure, I don't have a thrill, but I mean, it's enjoyable.
Yeah.
Well, I love helping you.
It's a blessing to us all. Roy, my wife doesn't know I'm calling tonight, but I'm in a little quandary because she has that autoimmune disorder where her platelets do not clot, and if they don't give her drugs, she'll bleed out and die.
Oh, you it's a blood problem.
Yes. From the inside, her platelets.
No, I can
clotting.
Tell you what's causing it. You want to hear it? She might not want to hear it.
No. It's because of our bad relationship, and she hated her father, and she hates me.
Yes, she's projecting your father on you, and to degrade you. You've got to be careful of how you get angry, because she'll report you to the police and then ruin your life.
Believe me, I'm well aware of that.
Be careful, though. Be careful, because the man hates her. But that doesn't mean to say she's guilty of it. She may not know.
Oh, I think she's becoming aware of it. Roy, you helped us a lot last Sunday. She's becoming aware of it.
That's good.
I want to know because I have been having some pains, so to speak, in the pit of my stomach, and I know I have anxiety about what's happening to her. And I think
You got to stop there.
Okay, stop there. That's why I need help.
That's
with.
A place you need to stop. You are too invested in your wife, and the more you get invested, the more you have to give in to her. Giving in, hoping not to hurt her more. I suggest you hurt her more in a right way. It's called correction. You see, Jesus says, I, what's the word I'm looking for? I can't find the word. Isn't that funny? You know, I call upon you. I don't mean the word punish. It's not the right word. But I speak up to you that you might be pure. There's a spirit. Yes, that's another who I love, I chastise. Yes. But that is a special one. I have to look that one up. Because it's so beautiful. It had a beautiful word which was missing to me. It says, I have to speak up to you and correct you,
yeah,
as painful as it is, so that you might become pure. But he says it much more beautifully than I could ever say.
Okay.
So it's necessary for you to start being looking for Mama's health. You need to separate yourself from that because she'll play it onto you.
Okay. That's what I can't. You know, it's so funny because intuitively I kind of feel like I'm being sucked into something.
You're feeling what she's feeling.
Okay.
And you think of that as compassion. It isn't.
Okay. Okay.
It's death.
I need to know that.
It's death.
I need to know that. Okay.
And you're not helping her. You're making her worse.
Okay.
And she secretly hates you helping her.
Okay.
And then if you back away in the wrong way, she'll secretly hate you for running away.
Yeah. There you go.
Can I interject a thought, Dad?
Yes. Go ahead, David.
About 6 months ago, I had a conversation with a friend of our family.
Hello?
Oh, this is David.
Yeah, sorry, Matt. I had a friend call me, and we were chatting about wives. And like many men that I know, the wife resents this particular person. And I said, here's what you got to realize. If they resent you, they want that resentment to make you feel miserable. And I said to him, don't feel bad about not feeling bad about what they're trying to project upon you. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because, see, if you feel bad, then they're accomplishing the subconscious thing that they want to do is to make you feel like it's your fault.
No, they're projecting themselves in you as relief.
Okay.
See? And they can't help it. They can't stop themselves, and if you try to tell them, they wouldn't be ready to understand it. So you have to endure. That is a key to my relationship with my wife, who's got worse, but now is getting better after 64 years of holding things in secret and projecting onto me here and there, and then loving me afterwards to make me feel more guilty, which I'm not. I frustrate her in that until she got sicker and I got better. And that sickness now I'm helping to overcome. See, I said, if you hate me, you die. You'll slowly die. There's something in you trying to kill me and you don't know it. I'm going to bring it to your attention. But for many years she wouldn't understand that. She likes it, loves listening to my programs and coming to my Sunday morning conversation. She sits right behind the door listening to my program every night. And slowly but surely, she's waking up at 84.
Sure.
See? And that is endurance. That is dealing with every situation, no matter what it is or how long it is.
That's real love.
That's true love. And you can only do it because he gives you that love. Because it's not all me.
Right.
I have a dad. I have another dad beside the dad I had, if you know what I mean.
I understand. So Roy, let me ask you. So I just need to become, if possible, a godly man, so to speak.
Yes. But forget that.
Okay,
phrase. Yeah, that.
Okay,
that,
well, forget
we'll
that phrase. I didn't like the phrase either, but whatever you would call it, I cannot help my wife.
Yes, hold it.
I mean,
it.
I want to help her, but
no, no, hold it.
Okay, help me. Help
Listen,
me. Thank you.
Right here.
Yes.
I cannot help you. Sorry. But don't say it.
Okay.
In other words, you've got to disconnect your feelings so that her feelings don't become yours and your feelings become hers, etc. See that?
Yes.
You kill each other.
Yeah, that's the truth. I can sense it.
And when someone dies first, laments over the person in the ground and they're living in the ground with them by proxy.
I see it very clearly now that she is sick.
But the point is, what she needs is manly love. That's very rare. My wife doesn't want to go away. In her age, she wants to be with me all the time. Not so much as before, because she wanted my approval, and she played for it. But now she's sick, and it's a silly thing sometimes.
Yeah.
I never get upset, even though it's in her to upset me. I don't move, and therefore she doesn't project her problems on me. I only become brighter, and that brightness helps her to see herself.
Okay.
See that?
I see it.
And so don't be afraid if she dies. If she's dying, don't go after her. See?
No, I got you. Listen, I've
if she dies,
doing...
she dies.
Yes.
But she dies because, A, you're still codependent looking for mama.
Got it.
And feeling obligated to give your life to her, and she's taking your life from you. Or, you see that? And
I do
she's
see
becoming
that.
She's becoming worse
there
because you're enabling the worst in her.
Okay.
Not loving the love. Not you see, you love the love. How can I say it? You can love the hell out of her, or you can embrace the hell within her, and that's what most people do. They love the hell in a woman, thinking it's love. They love the hell and leave the love of real love behind, based upon the pleasure or the effect you want to have on your wife to make her better. You can't make her better. You can't play God.
Got it.
You can only be neutral and be a neutral conduit to her. That's it. Radiation.
I got it. I got it. That really helped.
I just did it to you, didn't I?
Yes.
You don't see any attempt to compel you, will you, to do anything. But it's honest sharing. You could hear me honestly speaking, something speaking through you, according to what you said, brings to me to you that understanding that scores. I see.
Yes.
And then you see, and now your intuitive self just woke up. And
yes,
becomes less dependent on me until there's no dependence on me at all, period.
Oh, true. No, if something that came through you, it just connected right to my soul or heart or whatever you want to call it.
Yes, I'm glad.
Yeah, thank you.
I sensed it too.
Thank you.
And the other lady got it too, if you listen to her.
Yeah, I did. That was good.
Well, did we do good together today?
I think we did good.
I'll go to my other call then.
Thank you, Roy.
Thank you very much, Pat. You're welcome. Okay, here we are again. We do have another caller in a minute. Is it Mark? There it is. Mark in Delaware, separate from the thoughts. Do consciousness change? I like that. That's a good question. So, 800-866-8883. We got calls from Kentucky too with anxiety, and anxiety will be discussed as he's listening. Johnny and Kennedy in Kentucky. Well, I do hope you're enjoying the program. And I'm looking at my screen, and I attempted to read what I wrote in, let me see, March the 29th, 1968, How to Get and Keep Our Children Out of Trouble. So, the author's note here is that, well, I won't say that because we need to continue with our caller, but this is a few minutes I have to ask you to support this program. And what I want to, you to do, if you feel me pulling on you, don't give me anything. You hear what I'm saying? I do not want to obligate you. I need your help, yes. That's clear. But what is more clear should be, don't give me a nickel, because you're not giving it to me anyway. You're going to give it to the functioning of the foundation of human understanding. So that is an improper language. So, because it, just pause and wait until the apple is ripe and falls from the tree effortlessly. So that when you give money, you don't feel like you're giving anything at all. It is just something you should do, and naturally not over-exaggerated. Don't give too much. Don't give too little. And if you have a little, then give a little. And if you have a lot, you give it whatever that is. You'll know. Or nothing at all until you have that understand that I can do just the opposite. Like you can go to Catholic Church, which is not a bad church, but the basket comes around and everybody puts money in. And then there's an anxiety over how much you're going to put in. Then you hide it because it isn't much. Or you have a lot of money that day and you feel, you know, generous. Just think of quickly of a bum coming up to you as you walk through the park. And he's disheveled, but you could see he's playing a game. See it. He's probably got a car somewhere. And most of them do. And you feel the pull. There it is. It's over. Because if you feel the pull of the stranger, I guarantee you everything else is pulling on you too. So you have no life. And you are like the lady who called in this first hour. And we ended it in this hour, just a little while ago, before the last call. So here we are again. The address is Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon, 97528. Thank you very much. And bless your little cotton socks. I'll be right back. And the website is fhu.com. You can go there and get download, no charge, the 7-minute meditation, which is magic. That's all I can say.
Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Yes, it's Mike from Delaware calling. Over to you, over. Mike, go ahead. Can you hear me?
Mr. Masters.
Hi.
Hello, Mr. Masters. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. A little muffled, but I can hear you.
Great. Well, you break it up and listen a little bit, but I'm going to try to get my...
I'll get closer to the microphone. Yes.
So my question is, you talk about consciousness and your thoughts, and standing back with your consciousness and watching your thoughts. And just like to know what you believe consciousness is, and can your... I understand that our thoughts are not God's thoughts, the idea that our thoughts a lot of times are placed there by the other side, as you say.
That's right.
But our consciousness, does that shift?
It was that. What did you say? I just didn't catch the last word.
Well, first of all, I'd like to know what you believe that consciousness is, what our consciousness is.
Oh, would you like me to discuss it with you? Would you care for me to discuss
that? I'm having a really tough time hearing you.
Oh, David, can you raise the level a bit? Because I don't think he has a good call, a good line.
Yeah, it's more like it's static. It's really breaking up.
All right. You need to call back on a different line.
Okay, I'll do that.
Yes. And we'll look out for you. I'll take Johnny and wait for you because we'll get about 15 minutes apiece here. All right, Johnny in Kentucky. Hello, Johnny. Can Johnny hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, hello, Johnny.
Hello, sir. Yeah, I've talked to you a couple of times. I've used the meditation, and I told you I felt the depression started hitting me really hard at 27, 28. I got so sick, I got removed from reality for several years. And so I'm doing a lot better, and I'm so far behind life compared to what I think it should be because all those years just sort of like living in another world. And so I'm doing a lot better because of meditation. I'm taking medication and I'm trying to figure out what to do myself. I'm 64 years old and professionally I'm sort of I don't know what to do. I'm going down.
Are you married?
No, sir. I wish I was.
I think you wish you wasn't in your state. You're just a lucky Joe in that case.
Are you
calling for a discussion on anxiety and what it is? Is that what you're like?
Yeah, because I've got so much anxiety because where I'm at in life, I can't function. It's making it hard to make decisions.
That's right. Anxiety, I'll tell you roughly what it is. And then we can discuss it if you get it. In other words, there's good and evil, right?
Yeah.
In this world, and the evil is, well, it's you can't see it. It is it has a realm. It's metaphysical. The evil is not physical. It passes from one person to the other, as the Bible says, to one man's sin. And through one man, only one man really did the sin, but he passed it along so that every one of us is really not guilty, but driven by the same force of Eve that he failed to love the hell out of, but embrace the hell in it, embrace the hell in her. See, when men love women, they are embracing the Eve to rise to the occasion of their psychological feelings of worth, which are utterly and completely worthless and addictive. And trouble will come from that everlasting. It's all about women and how you deal with women. It's all about your dad, in a sense, not so much as coming from him, but him failing to deal with you, your mother properly and allowing the Eve of mother to get into you to need the love of Eve, and bring up the devil, so to speak, the worst in her.
Yeah.
Now, I'm making you conscious of something just now. I'm causing you, if you understand what I'm saying, to trust your Bible. It's right on the money. And therefore, you've inherited this from your mother by the failing of your father. And that's the way it is. Every family on earth is exactly the same thing, with very, very rare exceptions. Were it to become not an exception, we would be a strong nation, and peace on earth and goodwill to men. There would be bad people, but the bad people would dare not touch us. We are now in a country where we're all weak, like yourself, and the enemy is licking his chops to seeing our country withering away to be pounced on and eaten. Slavery. So, do we want to continue the point? Because the point of anxiety comes is anxiety is a good thing. It's trying to tell you something. What? So when you start to react and look for the approval of people or judge them, and then you become addicted to judging, because when you're judging, you got judgment on yourself. Judgment is mine, saith the Lord. I will pay back. So you have to give up judging. And if, because otherwise it turns in on yourself. Does that happen to you?
Yes.
See, but then you're talking, then you're arguing with the self and giving that self, which is a phantom, a body, a substance.
Sorry.
You got it right now, haven't you?
Yes, sir. They call it psychotic break.
That's right. So now, what is consciousness? Let me see if I can just break away and come back to it a little better. There are animals, they are asleep and they're awake. There's only two states. Would you agree to that?
Yes.
Okay. So animals don't have intuition. You can't give a monkey what is human beings have, which is a connection to God who gives you understanding. That's why I call the foundation of human understanding, because we're standing under God. Understanding. We stand under. See? So that's a gift, but you lost it practically the day you were born. Somewhere near it, and made worse by many things, because it was moving through you and you were getting angry, and then being angry with yourself sooner or later, you give power to give it a form when it's only a phantom. The phantom will take a form and eat you. So anxiety is that. Is the real you screaming, something screaming at you.
Okay.
Trying to tell you something. And you have to sit quietly with a meditation and let anxiety come to you. And be careful, because you cannot cure yourself by any means whatsoever. Psychiatry is finished. It'll only give you drugs that will make you more anxiety, give you more anxiety with a greater need for drugs, as if it was your God and giving you repentance.
I've been afraid of that for years.
Don't be afraid of anxiety.
Being addicted to the drugs and psychiatry.
I know, but you are addicted to something. What is the something? Can you fix it? Because you got to be addicted to something, even if it's the judging yourself.
I don't know. I mean, I sometimes I smoke marijuana. I'm not an alcoholic or anything. I do it every once in a while.
Have you been listening to me for a long time? Have you been listening to? Are you better than you used to be?
Yes, sir.
You are. How long you been listening to me?
Well, I started about 20 years ago, and I couldn't get it all on the radio, because in Louisville, you had to show on for about a year or so, but there was not enough support.
Yes, I just shunted around a lot of places and disappeared and reappeared in many places. I'm now permanent now, what I'm doing. It was not a very good thing for me, because the media sort of called me a cult leader, and people would believe it. So they have the power, media has the power, newspapers and other sources have the power to make you believe the worst about the best and the best about the worst. That's how it works. That's how your country has come tumbling down.
I agree.
Yeah, the whole country's tumbling down from the mainstream media. What's called the mainstream is nothing main about it.
I don't pay attention to it.
Yeah, I know. But all around you, people are affected by it.
I know.
And you can't find the answers in church, because the preacher gets in the way. You notice that I said a little while ago, I don't want you to become dependent upon me or become dependent upon listening to me. I just want you to listen to me until you see for yourself, and as a father, let you go, and to practice being who you should be as I am. See, so what is speaking to you through me is if it's acceptable to you, it's the same as, it's tantamount to appreciating God for letting me talk to you or giving me the information you that gives you to see.
Yes.
But Jesus said to the Pharisees, he says, you see, but you do not perceive. You hear, but you do not understand. I started to say to you about consciousness, animals sleep and they're awake. Human beings sleep and you're awake. But there's one thing extra. It's aware while we're awake. And awareness is different, distinct from your thinking. So you can see your thoughts passing across the screen of your mind. You can't stop thinking because this thinking is cyclic. It goes round and round and round and round and round. But if you just walk down the street and have a nice walk, and little thoughts flitter across the mind, something will come up as meaningful. And everything that's bad could come up and you see it. And so you've got two ways of seeing things. One, oh, that's interesting. I never seen that before. It's wonderful. That's how I write my thesis. That's how I do my science. I wrote a book on science and how the universe was created. And they don't know what they're doing out there. They know how to make iPhones and everything, but they don't know how it started. I've discovered the beginning. That's beautiful. But anyway, but lots of other things, you know, pass by my head as I walk, as I, you know, take a drink of water and make some dinner for myself and my wife. You know, there's things going through my mind. I'm watching. I'm aware of what I'm doing. But time passes so quickly because I'm not living in time anymore. My body lives in time. I don't. My soul is forever. My soul is in a place where time doesn't exist. You exist forever. There's such a place, and I can prove that gravity doesn't have time, only a potential of time when it spins mass. But this gravity by itself, which created the universe, I just have to say it this way, has no time. There's no years. There's only something flowing, but there's no time. It's very hard to just understand it.
Yes, I will.
And appreciate it. That's it. So I'm trying to say to you, enjoy maybe that's the wrong word, but I'll find the right one in a minute. What you need to do is to be still and know. And what that means is when you do the meditation exercise called the 7-minute meditation, I did to a lady in the first hour, the second hour, in the beginning of this program. If you do this meditation, what it does, helps you separate from your doggy nature, from your doggy mind that barks at other dogs that bark back to you, see? So it separates you from the mind that is manipulated by the dogs and pigs and bastards of the world. Got it? Did I make it plain? So you're not entangled with the feelings that are aroused up to you that you could not stop because you weren't objective enough to stop it. So your mind is your master, until you. Consciousness can step back from it and be in the stillness forever. You see, I'm doing 2 hours. It feels like 2 seconds. My whole day feels like seconds. There's not much time for me left. But I seem to be getting better and stronger, just the opposite to everybody else. Listen to me. I can do this all night if I had enough calls. I enjoy every minute of it because I love you. I don't love you with a feeling. I care about you. I hear you want to become a better person. But I can't help you do that, but I can show you. I can reveal, help you see what needs to be seen. And it's twofold. So When you are objective with a meditation and you go for a walk, for example, let's make it simple, and you're going for a walk for an hour or so, and you're walking and just walking, observing, and thoughts are coming to you. Some of those thoughts will remind you, are coming to the surface to be observed. And you've been hiding them as a way of dealing with it, which is worse. And then you're struggling with the problem that you got from hiding it and or expressing it, taking it out on somebody. So as you walk now, if you do the meditation, your consciousness will be separate from your consciousness, and you can see it from the inside. And you can see the thoughts as you're watching a movie coming through the screen in your mind. And then you can see it and be glad to see it. Oh, I thought did you finish with it? I'm sorry. Okay, let me get back to the point then, because I thought we came to the edge of a break here. So are you still there, my friend Mike? Is he there?
Oh, Mr. Johnny.
Yeah, good. Where is it? Well, why don't you put him up there, David? You should always put him up in the green so I don't make these mistakes. Please do that, would you? That is important to me because I look at the screen and I'm talking to the wrong person. See? That's it. And so, thank you. Now, we're going to go back to Mike here. So now, we're going to be talking to Johnny here. Oh, sorry, Johnny. And so, it's essential everybody understand this. Don't be afraid to see what rises to the surface. You feel a little anxiety, a little bit, as you're walking. But meditation puts you in that state. And so you can expect two things to happen. A good idea, as you never thought of before, biblical. That's what it basically is. Everything that is good is in that half an hour what Jesus spoke. If you add up all the words he has, is half an hour only. And it's all there. And every little piece, as you read it, will become an epiphany. It will become intuitive. Oh, I see that. Oh, I see that. But there's another side. The other side is beginning. It's got to begin with this other side. I can see what's wrong with me. I've been suppressing it and projecting it and struggling with it. I only fed it a body, gave it a body with energy. It turned the image, the phantom, into something real. And that will take you to death and beyond. Yeah. So when you're walking or whatever you're doing, showering, could be any place, and thoughts come to your mind, the first one will be about you. And you see that you resent this person last week, yesterday, 20 years back, depending on where you are, as I speak to you. And then what you need to do is, hey, I never seen that before. And little anxiety comes and little anxiety goes. And all of a sudden your disposition changes. So the next person you meet who tries to irritate you, you don't get irritated. Oh, then you're able to deal with that person properly. As a result of this, dealing with that person properly, you're rewarded with more understanding. It could be another bad one and another one, but it gets easier and easier to look at things. Until as you look at them, they go away. And this will be spread over the rest of your life. So it will come up, and then it will disappear, and something good will take its place. Oh, I see that. It's an epiphany. But the minute you see it, it becomes real. Just like when you didn't want to see the wrong you do, that becomes real. The phantom becomes real in you. Now God becomes real in you. Are you following me?
Yes.
It's simple, isn't it?
Yes.
There's nothing to it. It doesn't require anything from you. Just let it happen.
Okay.
Let everything happen through you. Just be a watcher. The scripture talks about a watcher. Right?
Right.
That's what it is.
Well, should you let your intuitive side out of your consciousness be your guide?
Say that again.
Does your intuitive knowledge come out of your consciousness, and should that be more your guide than your...
No. Your intuition is a gift of God.
Yes.
It's not directly God in you. You get closer to God and becoming his son, in your case, or daughter. See? Only by little steps. Everyday experiences within and without dealt with in the light that shining to bring you to salvation. That's it. It's step by step. Every day there's situations, every day there's decisions to make. And if you don't know how to make it a decision and you feel the pressure, there's what I was talking about before. When you feel the pressure and the pull, stop and watch. And better to do nothing than do something. Whenever you feel the pressure to do something, stop. So what do I have to do about this situation and this pressure on you? Then you can put pressure on yourself to have an answer. That's not good either. That involves anger and frustration with yourself because you can't see it. Of yourself, you could do nothing. Jesus says this about himself. Of myself, I can do nothing, but the Father within me, he doth it. Don't call me good. There is no one that's good. Only the Father in heaven is good. See, do you understand? Now, everybody's made Jesus God, and yet Jesus, people are so brainwashed, they can't read that. They read Jesus as God. No, it doesn't read that way at all. It reads the way I said it. But everybody listening to me who are Christians, and I'm Jewish, and Jesus is Jewish, and so is the 12 disciples, and salvation is from the Jews, so here's one of them who loves you, Jesus. He's my mentor. But he doesn't say he's God. But he has the power to forgive, because I have the power to forgive. In other words, if you love where I'm coming from, you're automatically forgiven. I'm not doing anything. It's when you love where I'm coming from, it's what God wants from you. So he loving me as a human being is also loving him too and giving me a lot of joy in a manner of speaking at the same time for being able to serve you.
Thank you, sir.
So it's not my... I don't live for myself. I live it in a better way to love others. And the more love I have, the more I have to give, where the average person who does the same thing has to give his guts away. Got the idea now? Oh, look, it's late. Thank you for listening, Johnny. I've got to rush because we ended the program. One more minute and then say goodbye to Johnny. Thank you. Apologize for my abruptness.